You're listening to Michael's Office, a podcast which hosts my unfiltered, unscripted, and genuine thoughts about things going on in the entertainment world today. This week I talked about a number of things. Yes, I talked about a number of things. I was just by myself, no guests this time. The things I talked about were a bunch of movie trailers that dropped, some films I saw recently, and some movie news. So please, step into my office. Hello and welcome to Michael's office. I'm glad to be finally recording on the usual day I record. It's good to be back. I'm by myself this week, and yeah, it's nice to not feel pressure about having to say things quickly or rush myself into what I want to say. I can slow down and process and think about what I want to say. Because I remember during one episode, I can't remember the exact episode, but at one point I'm like, I was going to say something and I was so fearful of messing it up. And I just had those inner thoughts of, no, you got to rush it. You got to make this sound like a normal conversation. And now that I'm by myself, I don't have to worry about that. And it's real nice. It's really nice. So I want to start off talking about a bunch of trailers that came out, about a bunch of trailers that have dropped. And they all look really good. They look really good. I mean, some look iffy. It's just a number of trailers dropped and I want to talk about them. First one is the new Hugh Jackman movie that's going to be dropping on HBO Max. I don't know if it's going to be also in theaters. It might be. But it's Reminiscence. It's directed, I'm pretty sure it's by, isn't it by Christopher Nolan's sister? I think it is. I might have misspelt that. It's fine. Directed by Lisa Joy. I don't know what she's done. Oh, this will be her first one. Her first film. But she's known for creating Westworld. And it looks super interesting. Yeah, I'm really excited for it. And it looks, people were describing it that it's similar to a Christopher Nolan film. And I have to agree, it looks fairly similar to what Christopher Nolan did. It has two really great performances in Rebecca Ferguson and Hugh Jackman. And I'm ready for it. It's like, basically you can go into the past and relive it or change it or like, maybe just watch a hologram. It's like you're watching a movie, but it's like a VR movie, which is really, a really neat idea. And I can't wait for it. I apologize. I can't wait for it. Next, we have M. Night Shyamalan's next film, Old. It dropped an official trailer. And I gotta say, it's very apparent that these actors and actresses a number of them, English isn't their first language. And I don't know why. It seems good. It doesn't seem amazing. It's like very apparent that English isn't their first language. And I don't know, maybe the acting's not as good. I mean, the person that's playing one of the sons that grows up, I really love the actor. I haven't seen him in much else besides the Jumanji movies. But he was in Hereditary, and he looks fantastic in that. I think his name is Nat Wolff or something. Nat Wolff, Nick Wolff, Jake Wolff. Nat Wolff. Okay, he's maybe not Nat Wolff, but Alex Wolff. Sorry, I'm thinking of his brother, Alex Wolff, who's going to be an old. My bad. I also watched him in Patriots Day, and he's really good in that. But yeah, I think it's interesting, and I want to see if it might bounce back from Glass. I mean, I liked Glass, but it was just like average, you know? And after that, this happened a while ago. This dropped a while ago. And it was the Eternals trailer. The Eternals trailer dropped. You know, I could also talk about the Shang-Chi trailer and the Black Widow trailer. Apparently another Black Widow trailer has dropped. I haven't checked that out yet. I'm not super excited about Black Widow. And not as excited as I was last year when it was coming out. I still am. It's really exciting. I think they can do a better job than they did with Captain Marvel, because this one doesn't have any politics behind it, with Brie Larson playing the title character or having any sort of politics behind it. I think this will... be received better by the fans because of that reason. And it sucks that we haven't gotten a Black Widow trailer film before this, but now we're getting it. So I'm I am so excited. It's an MCU movie, but I'm intrigued to see where this goes. And then the Shang-Chi, I thought it looked great. I was excited for it. The action looks amazing. It's really great for Marvel to do a martial arts movie. And yeah, I'm excited for that too. And then the Eternals looks amazing, actually. Not a best picture contender like people are saying. I do think it'll be in that conversation. Like, it'll be like, oh yeah, like it's one of those films that are up for best picture. You know what I mean? Like, it'll be in the conversation, but it'll be like, maybe it could slip in there. Maybe it could slip in some critic circles. I don't know. Maybe get in the PGA. I don't know. But I do think we should keep an eye on it. But I don't think it'll be like, it's a for sure nomination for best picture. For sure nomination for best picture. I don't think so. But it looks gorgeous. It is Chloe Zhao. It looks so different. And I am really intrigued to see it. I want to see how it goes. Is it going to be like the whole team? From what I understand, I think the team is going to continue to build and get bigger and bigger, and we see more people getting recruited, and that's how we get the Eternals. And I'm wondering what threats will cause them to finally interfere and help humanity. But it was a great trailer. Score sounded beautiful. And then after that, we have the new next Netflix film. It's really interesting because it's a comedy and it's an animated movie. And it's called America the Motion Picture. It looks stupid in a good way. It looks kind of funny. I feel like there'll be better jokes in the movie. The animation looks good. It looks different. It looks like it's going to satirize the way history's been told. Like how sometimes we get stuff like we change or rewrite history to suit a narrative when that's not at all what happened. I watched the first episode of John Adams, and I don't think that's super truthful to what it's talking about, but or like what it's showing when it comes to history. But what it does nicely is that in school, we're taught that the Boston Massacre it's not people were angry and then the British soldiers just shot because they felt threatened or something. Like they shot basically mostly unprovoked. And it's mostly portrayed as it's a slaughter. It's just they shoot them without much reason. And here in John Adams, it's shown that, you know, they had a reason to. They were attacked basically and assaulted and basically not nudged, but provoked to fire. And yeah, I like how it's satirizing that, and I'm intrigued to watch it. I want to watch it. And then we have the best trailer of the bunch, Edgar Wright's new film, Last Night in Soho. And this blew me away. I was waiting for a drop. I saw the teaser. Thank the Lord it didn't have a teaser before the trailer. I meant the teaser that dropped like a week ago or a couple days ago. I can't remember the exact amount of time that teaser dropped before the trailer. But it was, what a great trailer. Like the cinematography is amazing. It had very, very little dialogue. It had like one line of dialogue. I'm pretty sure it's, "Are you afraid of ghosts?" or something like that, that Thomasin McKenzie said. Great actress, by the way. And it gave us the idea of what to expect. And it's going to be something else. And this one, I will say, this is a Best Picture contender for sure. And Anya Taylor-Joy is in two Oscar awards contender films. And I think she's going to get nominated here for Last Night in Soho. She just has that presence about her from this trailer. And she could be very, very creepy. And it would be nice for horror performances to get nominated for once and recognized for once since Silence of the Lambs. And deserving, but you know, it'd be really nice. And I think this could also be one of those nominations for Edgar Wright where it's like a welcome to the club, like that Thomas Vinterberg was. And
Heck, I think it might even get nominated. I don't know. It's going to be that sign that Edgar Wright has finally made it. And I love what it's doing. I love the cast. There's Terrence Stamp in it. Matt Smith from Doctor Who fame. I mean, he's done other things, but I think he could also sneak in there and get a nomination, which would be amazing. He so deserves it. So deserves it. And I think it's going to do big. It's going to hit a lot of the marks. It's going to be one of the best films of the year. Could be even the best film of the year. I don't know. Now we're done with the trailer talk. We're going to move on to some news. Not much news, sadly. I should probably do my more research before going on the podcast. But more recently, this is a lot more recent. The Batman has been having some, troubles with Warner Brothers. Apparently, it was screened recently in front of a bunch of Warner Brothers execs, and or executives, and producers, and people at the head of the DC part of Warner Brothers. And apparently, they didn't like what Matt Reeves had to show off. And as I dug into more detail, it was apparently they didn't like the Bruce Wayne parts of it. They thought the Batman and the action stuff was great. They just really didn't like the Bruce Wayne stuff. And the source that got it from was from somebody who was like, according to the video I watched with Tyrone Magnus, it was he was very doubtful, and he's been like writing some stuff, but he's very doubtful about this. And then I'm trying to think. And at first, I'm going to be honest here. At first, I thought, if Warner Brothers doesn't like it, that must mean it's a really great film. Because they didn't like the Snyder Cut. And that was really great. They didn't. Apparently, there were some people who didn't like Joker. But you know how that turned out. I love Joker. I really love Joker. But then I watched a video that John Campia did on, and then Grace Randolph has some info about it. And apparently, basically, this thing is not true at all. And I don't think people have anything to worry about what's going on with the Batman. And I have to agree with John Campia. What he said. He said, basically, when Warner Brothers heard the pitch about this film, they were glowing about it. They loved it. They loved what they heard. They were constant praising what Matt Reeves has given them. It was one of the headlines for DC fandom like a year ago. And according to John, he had a meeting with some people from Warner Brothers and some other journalists like him, and they loved what they were seeing. They were really liking what they were seeing. They are basically said, I'm going to be quoting him. He says, I can't wait for you guys to see this. I can't wait for you guys. And yeah, I mean, bringing up all those points that John Campius said, if they're glowing about it from what they heard about the pitch, I don't know why Matt Reeves would change that. Like, oh, I got to do this thing. I'm going to say the things they want to hear. And then I got this thing. I'm going to do something else. And apparently it's to make fun of, like, from the Reddit post that the person got it, or another, apparently that's where the thing is from, is that to make fun of Zack Snyder. Like, if you were going to have a film that purposely makes fun of Zack Snyder, that is really petty, which, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Warner Brothers did that, but I don't think Matt Reeves would be like that. Matt Reeves has gone on to say that he supports Zack Snyder. He loves what Zack Snyder did with his version of Justice League. If I recall, they support each other. So I don't know why he'd make a film that would make fun of what he did with the Batman. I mean, could he say, I don't kill, or something like that? What if it was cool? I don't know. But yeah, I just don't believe that the Batman was disliked by Warner Brothers. I just think this is like a fake thing to spark interest in the Batman once again, to get people talking about the Batman, to continue the hype for the Batman, for both general audiences and Snyder fans and stuff like that. It's just basically to generate interest in the Batman once again. That's what I think this is. Now to another piece of news that's a bit more positive and not in a bit more concrete, no, way more concrete. Cannes has dropped their lineup. It is the illustrious film festival. It's the most prestigious film festival in the world. You could argue the Venice Film Festival is a bit more prestigious. But Cannes is the one. Cannes is the film festival. And we could get an idea of what is going to get nominated at the Oscars. It's going to give us some sort of idea of what this year is going to look like and what will be the best film of the year. And here I have the lineup. I'm not too familiar with a lot of these directors, or these projects, but I just want to announce them and give my thoughts, just my sort of thoughts on each, if I have any stuff. So first, that was in competition to get the Palme d'Or, which is the grand award, is Wes Anderson's French Dispatch. We're finally getting it. It's super exciting. The trailer really was released a long time ago, and I'm like, wow, this looks really great, and I'm super excited for it. After that, we have Paris 13th District. I don't know this that well, but it's Emile meets Camille, who is attracted to Nora, who crosses paths with Amber. Three girls and a boy, they're friends, sometimes lovers, often both. This sounds like a cute, it sounds like a rom-com, a drama. It sounds really cute and sweet. Excited to watch that. Next, we have Casablanca Beats, directed by Nabil Ayouch. I think that's how you pronounce it. It's a realistic drama set in the cultural center of Casablanca City, Moomin neighborhood, a poor suburb that became infamous in 2003 due to a terrorist attack perpetrated by locals. This seems like it's going to be a very heavy film, and it's going to have a lot of, not philosophical, but like identity issues, and it seems really great. And next we have Sean Baker's next film, who directed The Flora Project, which I loved. It's called Red Rocket. The plot reads, finding himself down and out in Los Angeles, a 30-year-old suitcase pimp decides to crawl back to his hometown in Texas, where his estranged family is living. He meets a young woman working the cash register at a local donut shop. He falls right back into his old habit. This could be really heartbreaking. It could also be really sweet. and could also be a awards contender. Super excited where it goes. And next we have Annette, which I've heard could be really bonkers. It's a musical that has music written by the Sparks Brothers, who have basically influenced a lot of bands and pop as we know it. And it's going to be, I think it's just going to be really artsy and crazy and probably one of the best films of the year. After that, we have The Fracture, directed by Catherine Corsini. Two women on the verge of a breakup in a hospital are further stressed on the night of a big demonstration by the overwhelmed staff and by angry, injured protesters who land up besieging the building. Oh boy, this is just going to be anxiety. I just feel like this is going to be anxiety filled, and it's going to be like probably a allegory for mental health, or a big metaphor for mental health. Oh, and another thing about Annette, it stars Marion Cotillard and Adam Driver. After that, we have Titane, or Tatane, I don't know how to pronounce it, directed by Julia Ducournau. It is about a young man with a bruised face is discovered in an airport. He claims his name is to be Adrian Legrand, a child who disappeared 10 years ago. He's finally reunited with his father, gruesome murders are piling up in the region. Oh boy, this sounds like a horror drama. Or a thriller. It could be a thriller. And this could be really interesting. That name sounds familiar to you, Ducournau. I don't know what she's done. I'm excited to see that. That looks really great. On a half clear morning, Bruna Dormant, a celebrity journalist juggling her busy career and personal life, has her life overturned by a freak car accident. More than likely, very slow, sad, just sadness. The Story of My Wife, directed by Yitiko Enyedi? I don't know how to pronounce it. A sea captain makes a bet in a cafe with a friend that he will marry the first woman who walks in. A romance drama? I don't know. This could be really sweet. It also could be problematic. I don't know. It could be like a comedy, like as an ugly, it could be like a she could be perceived as ugly. Then they'll fall in love. It'll be like a, could be like a, what is it? Dog fight situation. I don't like dog fight. But it could also be really cute. I don't know. And after that, we have A Hero, directed by Asghar Farhadi, which is a big Best International Feature Film contender. I just heard, and I'm really excited to see that. I don't know what the plot's about. It doesn't reveal what the plot's here, so, I'm excited to see that. Next is Drive My Car, directed by Ryusuke Hamaguchi. An aging, widowed actor seeks a chauffeur. Yeah. The actor turns to his go-to mechanic, who ends up recommending him to a 20-year-old girl. Despite their initial misgivings, a very special relationship develops between the two. This is just basically just your basic romance, from what I understand. Again, could be very sweet. I don't know. Next is Berman Island. The film revolves around an American couple who retreats to the island for the summer. To each write screenplays for their upcoming films in an act of pilgrimage to the place that inspired Berman. This just seems like a movie about filmmaking and self-discovery and drama and fights and stuff. I don't know. After that, we have Lingui, Compartment Number 6, Mitram, Restless, Ahad's Knee, Three Stories, Everything Went Fine. More than likely, everything did not go fine. Flag Day, another film directed by Sean Penn, who did Into the Wild before. Next is Petrov's Flu, The Worst Person in the World, Benedetta, Memoria, And then after that, we have In His Lifetime, Emergency Declaration, The Velvet Underground, Stillwater, which is directed by Tom McCarthy, who directed the Best Picture winning film Spotlight. I'm excited for that. And then after that, we have A-Line, The Voice of Love, Back Nord. And then after that, we have Umonde, The Innocents. Different Innocence. After Yang, another big one. Commitment Hassan, Lamb, Prayers for the Stolen, Bon Mar, House Arrest, Blue Bio, Money Boys, Frida, Not the Big Morning, Women Do Cry, Le Civil, Unclenching the Fists, Rahana, Mariam, Noor. And then there are some special screenings. And that'll be it. Yeah, it looks pretty good. It looks very, very Cannes. And I'm excited to see that, see what comes out and what people will talk about and what will be on my list to watch for this year. One thing that is escaping me, though, is there is no Predatory blockbuster that was supposed to debut. Maybe it's just Red Rocket. Maybe that's the Planetary blockbuster. But we don't have, there's no Dune, no Eternals. I mean, Dune's probably going to premiere at the Venice Film Festival, but no Eternals. No, nothing. Nothing debuted at Cannes. No Planetary blockbuster. But I'm excited to see what gets talked about and what wins the Palme d'Or. Yeah. After that, I saw a number of films. I'm going to go through this quick. I saw Whiplash, The Graduate, Tampopo. Whiplash is just full of frenetic energy, amazing performances from Miles Teller and J.K. Simmons, one of the best I've seen from the latter. I highly recommend, if you haven't seen it, please watch it. It's a fantastic film. And the ending is one of the best I've seen from last month. After that, I saw The Graduate. Fantastic acting. Again, what a wonderful script. The interactions are amazing, so natural. And that ending also hits you. Then Tampopo is the one I also recommend. It's really weird. You can watch it for free on YouTube. It's funny. It has such a like infectious love for food. Basically, you're going to be hungry the whole time you're watching it. So make sure you have food on hand and some snacks because you'll be constantly hungry. After that, I saw Lahaine. That's something I just want to say go watch. I'm not going to talk much about it. It's just brilliant. It's brilliant. It's one of the greatest films of all time. After that, we have Christopher Nolan's The Prestige. I watched that for the first time. And yeah, it's basically like a magic trick. It's about magic, but in turn becomes a magic trick. And it's just brilliant. It's brilliant. I love Christopher Nolan. After that, I watched Yorgos Lanthimos's The Favorite. It's funny. It's dark, it's dramatic, it's got brilliant acting. It's probably my favorite Yorgos film. I've only seen two, but plan to see two more. But I recommend that one too. Then I saw Short Term 12, which is basically If Kindness. It's not If Kindness was a film, but it's one of those films that define the word kindness. It's great. Again, if you haven't seen it, watch it. It's got Brie Larson in it and Lakeith Stanfield and Rami Malek and Caitlin Dever, who's also really great. Just go watch it. Go watch it. And then I saw Cabaret for the first time. It's Cabaret. I don't have to talk much about it. Brilliant musical. Really great musical. It's not what I was expecting. I was expecting a lot more high energy, something a lot more fun. And it was not that. Still great nonetheless. After that, I watched Die Hard for the first time. It deserves all the love. It's an excellent action movie, one of the best of all time. Yes, and then I also watched Goodfellas for the first time. Man, Martin Scorsese just really knows how to make a film. It's not my favorite Martin Scorsese. It's great. It's really great. But I was underwhelmed by it. I was just underwhelmed. It's just, I'm going really, really fast. I apologize, but I can't really say much that's already been said. And the reason I'm going really, really fast is because I want to talk about my experiences with the previous guests. And let me first start out with Jack. The reason why I want to bring on guests again is because, I just want to bring on guests and talk to people about these things. And I miss having guests on, you know? I really did. Our first was Jack. And to be honest, I think the audience can know, it honestly felt like I was struggling. Man, things are really awkward between us. And there's not much energy, so I can understand if people were dipping out after the first 30 minutes, because it wasn't until later on in the episode is where we started to kick things off and we started talking more and more and got comfortable with each other and it got better. And I think that's just Jack. Jack is probably thinking about a lot of things and I can't fault him for it. And I haven't really talked to people for that long amount of time, for that length of time in a while. And I haven't done a podcast with another guest in a bit. So I can't really fault him. It's more on me. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed what he had to say. But I had a better time with Austin, in all honesty. Out of these guests, he's not my favorites. I don't think I have a favorite guest. Some, like, maybe Siegel is my favorite guest so far, but, you know, I'll get to him later. Yeah, it was just super interesting to talk to Austin. And we had a whole thing about bugs. I mean, I still think about it. It wasn't movie related, but it was all about him. And I tried to make it a bit movie related or entertainment related, you know? And we had a good time with Austin. And then I had Quentin on after that. He was really great. The little clicking of his mic was a bit annoying, but he can't help that. And I think he was depending on me to edit it, or I wasn't bothered by it. I appreciate him muting his mic, but it gets a little annoying after a while. And then Siegel was really great. I didn't expect to have much troubles recording on Anchor. I usually do. This week I'm recording on Zoom because I'm letting my phone charge. But I liked how it sounded when I recorded with Siegel. But yeah, we had a bit of trouble at the beginning when it comes to recording. I had something. I thought I was going to do something at the time to plan to record. I completely forgot we were going to record at that time. And I pushed it off. Then it didn't happen and it really sucked. And then we recorded and it didn't work out on Anchor. So we moved to Zoom. It was different to see a person's face while I was recording and my face while I was recording. Granted, we kind of didn't really look at each other. Sometimes we did, but sorry to spoil it. Usually people think it's like a conversation, but sometimes we didn't really look at each other. And that's how I'm like that. When I'm talking to somebody, either through Zoom or through in person, I don't usually look at the person. I kind of either look up the side or look at myself or look at their different parts of the face. It's not like they don't like eye contact or something. Like it's like I'm not medically diagnosed. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, it's not like I have a problem making eye contact with people. It is more of the fact that it's just a thing I do. And yeah, the conversations, I mean, I kind of orchestrated it like that. It was more along the line, like I organized it to be like, go this way. But I didn't expect the conversation to go the way they did. And I learned things about my friends. I was learning them as I was talking. I mean, that's what podcasts are. You basically, I mean, sometimes they're interviews. You don't really know the person that much beforehand if you're doing an interview. And why would you want to do podcast stories you've already heard before? I mean, because you want to share it to an audience, listeners that you don't even know. Maybe you do know, but yeah, I don't think it would create as genuine of reactions if you were to talk about the story. Like, oh my gosh, yeah, that's such a crazy story. I think it's the benefit to everybody, including yourself, if you just hear these things for the first time. And all these guests have so many interesting things to say, and it was so cool just to hear what their opinions were and what they wanted to say. And I love getting people's opinions on things and talking about things. Just diving into who they are and why they function. It's really great. I always love having guests on here. I mean, it's sometimes refreshing just to sit by myself and pour myself out to the world for everyone to listen. But I think it also, it's a lot more appealing to the ears when there's not just one person talking. There's multiple people talking when it's a conversation. I think a conversation, listening and on conversations is a lot more interesting than somebody monologuing or having a discussion with themselves for an hour or less or more. In all honesty, I do like recording by myself because that is just the thing, because I do have thoughts I want to expose to the world. I do have things I want to say, but I think it's a lot better when you have a person to discuss things with. Yeah, that's a good place to end on. Alrighty. Next week, I'll try to bring on a new guest. His name is Sam. And then after that, as I said before, I'll be recording by myself, talking about things until I'm able to get everybody back for one really big episode. Until that is set in stone, I won't be able to tell you what that special episode is. So, thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed, and if you did, be sure to be on the lookout for more episodes in the future. I think we're done here. So please, step out of my office.